in the past, discussing some shalas, hopefully that are shalas that have relevance, and some more, some less, but all of them in Yana Diyum of Chanukah. First of all, we mentioned, last week we spoke primarily about the Zman, right? What is the proper Zman for lighting Neres Chanukah? So at one point, I just want to add, as far as, obviously the exact Zman, the proper Zman, is not something that we can comply with, so to speak, on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, you've got a light before Shabbos starts. So Erev Shabbos, for sure, before Shkia. I mean, Shkia is the absolute, you know, deadline. But really, it should be, you know, before that, you're supposed to be Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia. There's a mitzvah derisa of Tosefet Shabbos, which, according to the shita that we work with, one of the shitas we work with, certainly L'churma, the shita of the Gaonin that we spoke about last week, that Ben Ashmoshos, which is Safik Yom, Safik Laila, the questionable period starts at Shkia, when the sun sets, so then obviously Tosef Shabbos would have to be before that. There is some question in the poskim whether there is a mitzvah before that, because the Bir Lach himself asked the Kasha, because, you know, Zemachlok is based Hillel Beis Shammai about certain activities, whether or not they're permissible on Friday. Beis Shammai has a lot more restrictions, things you can't do on a Friday. And Beis Hillel allows pretty much all of them. And the Lashon of the Mishnah is Beis Hillel Matirim Im HaShemesh. Beis Hillel allows you to do that Im HaShemesh, meaning, sounds like literally, till the sun sets. Im HaShemesh, till the sun is, you know, as long as the sun's there. So the Bir Lach has the Kasha, Im HaShemesh. Well, what that means, up till Shkia, what happened to Tosef Shabbos? Where's the Tosef Shabbos? If you're going to go up to Shkia, you're going to take it literally, and you're going to, you know, so I think he says, Lav Davka, does mean Im HaShemesh Mamash, it means to say, till, you know, till Shabbos really starts. I mean, there's no requirement to stop extra early like there is according to Beis Shammai, right? But most say that there is a mitzvah, and this is something to be aware of in general, nothing to do with Chanukah per se, something to be aware of, that on Friday afternoon, it's proper to actually be Mekabel Shabbos, b'peh, most say, b'peh, or at least b'machshava, but apparently b'peh, orally, articulate, before Shkia. But you can't do that until after you daven Mincha, right? You can't, because once you Mekabel Shabbos, you can't daven Mincha. So that's why it's Kedai, I know the Kol, I don't think it was always that way, even since I came, but the last number of years, they daven Friday afternoon at 20 minutes before Shkia, which is good. This way, it gives a little time to daven and still be Mekabel Shabbos, certainly if you're not the Baal Tefillah. If you're not the Baal Tefillah, it becomes a little bit more tricky. But if you're not the Baal Tefillah, it's certainly easy. What I personally do is come out every week, except if I'm, if you know, during the weeks of early Shabbos, if during the summer, if I start Shabbos early, obviously this doesn't apply. But on a regular Shabbos, regular Friday afternoon, right after I finish my private Shemoneh Esrei, I say that I just check my pockets, make sure, and then I say I'm a Mekabel Shabbos. So this way, you know, get at least, Ramosha brings a shear of 2 to 3 minutes, that at least 2 to 3 minutes before Shkia Yishmin Kabbal Shabbos, so at least get the Bir Lacha recommends doing it more like 15 minutes before Shabbos, before Shkia. But, I mean, if you daven Mincha with a late minyan, you can't really do that. Some people daven Mincha early for that reason, on Friday they daven at a early afternoon minyan, and then they have more flexibility to be Mekabel Shabbos 15 minutes before Shkia. But okay, but at least 2 or 3 minutes before. So personally, what I do is after I finish my private Shemoneh Esrei, I'll say hereby Mekabel Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah to do that to Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia. So obviously you can, anyway. But either way, you can't light Hanukkah candles. The earliest zman we said last week, the earliest lechatchila zman was Shkia, right? Even you go with the Rambam and with the sunset, that's the earliest, and you can't do that on Friday. By Shkia, you've got to be well finished and all the matches safely away and the candles safely arranged, you know, especially if you have B'nai Mishpacha, if it's a family with children as well who are lighting, you know, older children or children not old enough to light, then you may have, you know, numerous people lighting and some, you know, you have to be very careful that everything is set properly. It's not like during the week when you notice, I think we put that menorah a little bit too close to the Venetian blind or whatever they have here, the window treatments, let's move it a little, no, you can't do that, right? I'm not talking if there's mamash sakana, but you can't just take, you can't just after everyone's finished and now look, after Shkia, look around and see, move this one an inch this way. And this way. Normally you shouldn't do that. I mean, you should light exactly where it's going to stay, but at least during the week. But on Friday, okay, so by Friday, you've got to be done in plenty of time to Mekabel Shabbos by Shkia. That's one thing. And then on And by the way, so while we're here, the lechatchila, they should be lit, the Chanukah neira should be lit before the neira Shabbos, lechatchila. If a person's mekabel Shabbos by lighting, Shabbos neiros, which women do, then they wouldn't be able to. If a woman had to do both, and she's mekabel Shabbos, right, then she wouldn't be able to light Chanukah unless she'd be stuck. She for sure have to do it. But even she can still be yotzi with her husband doing it afterwards. But still, even if it's not without kabbalah Shabbos, the proper order is that the Chanukah menorah is lit first, and then the neiros Shabbos are lit. Okay, now Motzoi Shabbos is what he's getting to. Shabbos also you can't really light at the regular Zman, certainly not if you hold the Zman of Shkia, or if you hold it, we spoke about last week, 10 minutes after Shkia, 13 minutes after Shkia, even 23 minutes after Shkia. I mean, in the United States, that's unheard of that anybody should do Malach Chas V'Shalom 23 minutes after Shkia. I mean, maybe there are places, the United States is like that, but I doubt it. I mean, we're down here, and it's nowhere near. It's way, even those want to say it's much earlier than New York, but it's nowhere near 23 minutes after Shkia. I mean, anybody, I think, I believe. There's no way to light Bizman. And so the question is, should you, if you normally keep a chumrah for Motzai Shabbos, that you go, let's say, let's just take 72 minutes. You wait 72 minutes, because that's Rabbeinu Tam's, baseline number. But you're not doing it because you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, or you're from a mishpacha that's Rabbeinu Tam. On Friday afternoon, you'd never, rely on Rabbeinu Tam. But and then generally, even for mincha, you don't rely on Rabbeinu Tam. You daven, you consider it to be tzeis before that. But you machmer, like Rav Moshe finds himself writes in his tshuva, his famous tshuva, where he says that in New York, 50 minutes after Shkia is equal to 72 minutes in Europe. Rav Moshe writes. But he still says Bnei Torah, should lechatchila keep 72 minutes. The real Rabbeinu Tam, so to speak, the conventional Rabbeinu Tam, let's put it. So you're doing a mitzvah chumra. So the question is, by Motzoi Shabbos Chanukah, should you perhaps not be so machmir and stop a little bit earlier, go with a more shuris adin time, so you could light when it's still a little bit earlier, and maybe still within a half hour of the Zman, even of the at least a half hour of the Sof Zman. Like if you could light at, if you light between 15 and 60 minutes, so you could be within a half an hour of what might be the Ikar Zman. So that's the Shas. So in Eretz Yisrael, a number of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael did recommend this. I don't think I brought the names here to know, but a number of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael held like that that you should Motzai Shabbos Chanukah. It could be, it's okay to be mevatra a little bit on your normal chumras, and you should, and so you can light a little bit earlier.
Do you need to do Atara Ne'arim?
I'm saying?
Do you need to do Atara Ne'arim?
No, I don't think so, because it's like, in Mekabel, Adai Tahachi, to do, that this week, this is the better thing to do, right?
Even though you've been doing it, like, Rabbi Nutam for years.
I mean, you never knew, even in Chanukah, you never knew. No, okay, and Baba Stama, you can rely on you with Matir Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah, and this is not something you ever articulate. You didn't articulate, right? You didn't say, okay, moving ahead, I'm going to keep Rabbeinu Tam. You didn't do that. You just so I don't think you'd have to do that. But two Gedolei Olam of America both said not to do that. Rav Moshe says that. Rav Moshe writes not to stop any earlier, not to end Shabbos any earlier. And he says, even if you keep 72 minutes, keep 72 minutes, even though Lashita, so his mom is just a chumra ba'alma, just a nice thing to do, but not 72 minutes. And also I saw Rav Aaron in this sefer here called L'Yono Shel Melech, this edition is all about Chanukah, and he brings a number of hanhagas. Rav Aaron, he held not to light any early. Rav Aaron was well known, that he held 72 minutes, his mamash may ikar hadin, to make up before 72 minutes is unacceptable, Rabbi held, and lechatchila should wait 90 minutes. So he held that to light, you should not light Chanukah lech Motzei Shabbos, or any malacha for that matter, till 90 minutes. In fact, it's brought here a maisa with somebody who had some sort of tzarech where he had to leave the city Motzei Shabbos, basically as soon as he could, he had to leave early, and it was going to be to wait 90 minutes to leave. It was very difficult. And so Rav Aaron told him, it was Chanukah, Masei Shabbos Chanukah. Rav Aaron was matter that he could do all sorts of the Rabbanans and actually go to the bus station and, you know, and carry things in the, it was a Carmelis, or maybe it was even Arab, at least a Carmelis, and even handle it after 72 minutes. After 72 minutes, he could do all the Rabbanans. But he told him, but don't light Chanukah Licht. Make a Shaliach to light in your house after 90 minutes. Even though he was allowing him to get on a bus before. It reminds me, as I'm saying, I heard this from Rabbi Center from the Chavkei, I think the older Rabbi Center. He was close to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal, and he once, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik also waited, I think it was until 90, he was very late, I think it was 90 minutes after Shkia, before he would, you know, consider Shabbos completely over, or Vade over. And so he once called him, or Senter once called him from New York, because I think his wife or somebody was ill, and he called him that to be mispal for. So he's speaking to Rav Aaron on the phone. It was Motzai Shabbos. He's speaking to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik on the phone, and he said, he's telling him, his wife is sick. So Rav Aaron says, okay, 1 minute, I like the name, but let me give the phone to my wife, because I can't write it down yet, because I'm still keeping Shabbos. He was talking to him on the phone. I'm still keeping Shabbos, I'm not going to write it yet. Let me give the phone to my wife, and you'll tell her the name. So here he's talking, he was willing to talk on the phone, but not to do Malacha Daraisa. Talking on the phone is not Malach Daraisa, it's the Rabbana, so the Mechalik. Now, this isn't something for the average person, I think, typically. I mean, in the case of Rav Aaron, it was only a Shasat Chak, but the person had to leave early, so he told them, okay, after 72 minutes, he can even get on the bus and with his stuff, with his bus ticket, but don't light your menorah, that's a Daraisa, make a Shleif, light your menorah. There was a Maisa also, I don't know if I said these things in the past, maybe, but there's a Maisa, I know the Baal Maisa, and the Baal Maisa is a Rav here in Florida for many years, Rabbi Becker, Herschel Becker from Kendall. I was a chavrus of his back in the day in Yeshiva quite a few years ago, and he had a baby boy was born to him, he and his wife, was born on Motzai Rosh Hashanah, going into Gimel Tishrei. So, Gimel plus 7 is Yud Tishrei, otherwise known as Yom Kippur, right? So the Bris Bizmana would be, if it was Motzai Rosh Hashanah, so if it was Taka Motzai enough, it was already in the night, so the Bris would be Yom Kippur. And now, I don't know exactly how many mitzvahs was Yifta Shkia, and the last time, one time I said this over recently, let's go, I asked for Becker, he also didn't remember exactly how many minutes. So he can't give you the full brunt of it. But it was long enough after Shkia that he asked the Shaila, Rav Moshe Feinstein was living then, and he asked Rav Moshe, the Shaila, when should the Bris be? He told him when the baby was born, Yom Kippur. It's considered baby's born Motzai Rosh Hashanah, it's already Gimel Tishrei, the Bris, Yom Kippur Bris. So he was making the Bris in Brooklyn. She was in Queens, but he was going to be in Brooklyn, that's where his in-laws lived. So he's going to be in Brooklyn for Yom Kippur. So he contacted Rabbi Zimmerman, Zichron Lebracha was a big mohel in that New York mohel. And he told him, and he says, Yom Kippur, when was the baby born? He told him, I'm sorry, I can't do the Bris Yom Kippur. Can't do the Bris Kippur? I said, no, I can't do the Bris Yom Kippur. I'm only if the baby was born, it was less than 90 minutes after Shkia. So but I asked the Shaila, I asked the Gadol Dar, I asked for Moshe Pines. I said, but I'm a Talmud of Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron wasn't living it then. But, Rav Aaron was lived in 1962. This is well after 1962. I said, but I'm a Talmud of Rav Aaron. And I can't do the Bris unless the baby would be born 90 minutes after Shabbos, or, you know, to do the Bris on a Yontif. I doubt, you know, the Bris on a Shabbos or Yontif would have to be born 90 minutes after, you know, after Shkia. So even though it was a psak from the Gadol Adar to do the Bris in Yom Kippur, he said, I can't get somebody. Lamaisa, because Baruch Hu made shalom, and the baby was yellow. So the Bris was the Bris was delayed. Anyway, but from what I recall, I saw a very similar Maisaism in this Legion of Shemelch, not in this one, a different one. There's another one, even by Sfiras HaOmer, which is according to Moshe Yitzchak Rabbanan, Reb Aaron, it says they used to daven very late in Lakewood, and during Sfiras HaOmer, during the weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, up to Friday night, they would, whatever time they would kaveya, and whatever time there was, they were supposed to marry, Reb Aaron was never to be found. He always managed to disappear right before this one, because he really wanted it to be even later than what he agreed upon. So he always disappeared a little bit and whatever, until, so they always had to stop it later, because he wanted Sfiras HaOmer to be I don't remember the number, but to be, very late. Okay, so Rabbi Aaron held also, though, even Motzai Shabbos Chanukah, no changes. Daven the regular time, and don't light candles, don't light neres before 90 minutes after Shkia. That's Rabbi Aaron held, and Rabbi Moshe held, not 90, but Rabbi Moshe held, whatever you keep, keep, and don't adjust it. And over here, we don't, right? I'm pretty sure we daven the regular 55 minutes after Shkia, and you go home, and you light, you go home right away and light, that's all. Okay, now, so there's a big shiloh about a person who has to leave the house early. And even before Shkia. So we mentioned, but Mechaber brings down that you could light after Plaga Mincha, but I've mentioned this already a couple of times, that a number of poskim say that Plaga Mincha, though, is based on the Cheshbon of the Magen Avram, not the Cheshbon of the Gra. So it comes out based from calculating the day from dawn, from Alos HaShachar till Tzeisu Kochavim, not from sunrise to sunset. So, and Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter then before Tzeisu Kochavim, comes out much later than if you do it sunrise, sunset. And it comes out, like I said, in New York, it's Kemat, it's almost Shkia. What I recall from New York or Chicago, maybe both of them, it was like 3 minutes before Shkia. In the wintertime, it comes out just 3 minutes before Shkia. That's the whole game. But Al-Kapan, let's just talk about if a person who does want to light, then maybe he lives in a place where there is a more significant gap, and he
why not the grub?
Because the whole cheshbon of plag is to light by plag is a chiddush. It's not pashut. And plag lefi the grub comes out mamish. It's mamish day.
Much earlier.
Yeah, it's mamish, and it's mamish in the middle of the day. I mean, middle of the day, but it's so shraga. But the gemara says shraga b'tir mayahani lights at in the middle of the day. Don't help you by the Magen Avraham's plag. It's already much darker.
Who says not to follow that?
For this?
I'll
take you 1 second.
And the grub himself would have said.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the Gra held about lighting by plag. Maybe not all Rishonim hold you can light by plag. The Mechaber passes, you could, but not all Rishonim hold you can light by plag. So I don't
know. Shabbos.
No, Sarah Shabbos, it says that you could light. You shouldn't davka start by plag either. I mentioned you have to start plenty of time, but the best thing by Erev Shabbos is just to light, as much time as you need before Halak is Erev Shabbos. That's all. Now, don't say, okay, it's plag, let's light. If you have to, you can. That's what I say. But I could read you a couple of the Makoros here. 1 second. Well, first of all, so Lagabi Erev Shabbos in the Igros Moshe Archaim Dal Simen Samach Beis over there, it says it's Mefurish that by Erev Shabbos you could light a Sharavia Kodem Shkia, but he writes that Mikol Malkum Ein Lahadlik El Samach Lahadlakas Neir Shabbos. Maisi try to light as close as possible to Neir Shabbos. The 1 second here. Rabbi Ida brings this down in his sefer Hilchos Chanukah, page 21. Sheshamati mipi agon Moshe Feinstein. When it says plag, dahainu lechumra becheshvim plag mincha. He said aval be'er Shabbos aminig lahag plag plag harisha. But he said here from Moshe that it's lechumra, meaning the other plag. Then one place if you really want to read up about it, in the Rabbi Neustadt has an article in his set called the Monthly Halacha Discussion. This is from. Chodesh Kislev in the Chelik HaBi'urim, pages 4 through 8, he has a whole discussion about this, and I say Hevi. This is what my notes say: Hevi kama hochachos. He brings number of rias. The efsher b'shum oifen lahadlik ner Chanukah achar plag mincha shel agra b'moshe shavua ki im be'erev Shabbos b'vad. And he wants to say even the Mishnah Berurah, specific Mishnah Berurah Tafrei Shai and Tesifka and Beis uses the lashon of kodem halayla. He says, Kodem Alayla. He says, he also means, he means that. Then I wrote here that I asked Shmuel first, Kislev Tavshanayan Beis. Oh, not I asked, I'm sorry. He gave a shir on the phone. Gave a shir on the phone for Rabbana, whatever it is. Yud Zayin Kislev Tavshanayan Beis. And he said, Heshad del Inin Erchanaka Be'emtza Hashavua Mechashrim in Meplag Shalomogan Avram. Rak Be'er of Shabbos Mechashrim in Plag Shalagrab. Okay, so we have it from a number of sources here. I think there's a third card here somewhere, but whatever it is. So you have a number of reliable sources like this. But the question is anyway, let's say you're in a place where there is enough of a gap that it makes a difference. It makes a difference, even between the plague of the Magen Avraham and Shkia, significant enough you want to light and go. But your other choice is, you could lie when you come home. You're leaving the house, you'll be home late at night. So what's better? So first let's just talk about, in general, about lighting late at night. How late at night could you light? The answer is, till alos ha-shachar, you could light. If you're lighting and there's less than a half an hour left till alos, you should light without a bracha. Still light, and still put in a half hour with a shemen, but you light without a bracha. But as long as there's a half an hour till alos ha-shachar, that's now it's like around, I don't know, 5 a.m. now, you can still light. Right? Still light with a bracha. You came back from a long trip. You drove back from, I don't know, you pick the name yourself. And you come into your house and it's really late at night, or it's almost the morning. You can still light with a bracha as long as the half an hour go. Now, the thing is, the question is only, if what happens if you come, you're alone, and there's nobody in the street, even if you light, but there's nobody in the street. No one's going to see your neiros. Let's say it's 2 in the morning. And where you live, no one's going to see your neiros. But could you then light with the bracha? So the Mishnah Berurah says, wake someone up. If there are people at home, wake someone up. Now,
Well, it's not so
pashy. It's for the Bnei Bais, it says. Not so pashy, it's yourself. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah paskins that if there's nobody going to see it, if it's late at night, nobody's going to see it, you cannot make a bracha. He brings a day that you can, and he says a person wants to do that in limchos biyado, but he disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees and holds that you do not light with a bracha if nobody could see it.
So Rosh says, I think he.
Yeah, Rosh says either. Yes, he does. Look at this.
So if you cannot light with a bracha, if nobody's going to see it, why are you allowed to light if you're camping, for example?
If you're camping all by yourself?
Yes.
Well, we didn't necessarily say that. We were talking about if you're camping all by yourself, then it's not pasha that you can. It's not pasha that you can. There are those, I know, they want to distinguish between if you're lighting bizman, even though no one's around, it's different than if you're lighting much after the zman. But the answer might be that according to Mishnah Berurah, though, that you can. Now, as mentioned, Ramosha holds that you could light. He's not like this Mishnah Berurah, and I saw a lot of the Svarim Machriya that way here. Rav Moshe is in again Or Chaim Dalet, Siman Kufei Ozayin, that you should, and I've seen that a number of Paskin that way. I saw it's brought down for Shlomo Miller. Lamaisa, if you have to, if there's no one, even if there's no one around, you can still lie with the bracha. Rishmuel Felder Paskin that way on a this from recording one of his recorded shirim that I heard many years ago. That you could still light with a bracha mstam, it's in a sefer also, but I don't right now have that written down. But what the Mishnah Berurah says is to try to wake someone. If there's someone home to wake up, so wake up, right? Mishnah Berurah in Tafrei Shayim Beis Sifka and Yud Aleph, B'shem Achroyo Malik Me'ucha B'layla Acha Shekol Seregla Menashuk Lo Yevarech Elim Keim B'nei Sifbeis Ne'urim V'tov Sheyekitzeim Kedei Lahadlik B'bracha. So, in this year from Shmuel Felder, he said that means he's talking about people that weren't Yotze yet. But they buy somewhere near, there's somich on you. Now, they don't have to be awake to be Yotze, right? Interesting, you could be climbing the mitzvah when you're sleeping. But there's a mila to be awake and see the neros and hear the bracha, you know, shasanisima and see the neros. So that, but if someone was Yotze already, he says, for example, if you come back to the, he's talking about the yeshiva bracha and come back to the dorm at night, late at night, and they didn't light, they were away, or whatever it is. So he says, they shouldn't wake anybody. They shouldn't wake another bacha there. So I wrote, L'chari yesh lodum bazeh. And even if it's true about a dorm, but it could be Bnei Beisu is different. Mistim is a Mishnah Berurah. You know, not that they weren't Yotze. The Shailas, though, I saw a Shaila in one of the Svarim. Could you, I think in the... what about your parents? Let's say a bacha comes home to his house, and the only one home are his parents, and they're sleeping. Could he wake his parents? So and the sefer, maybe this way. So sefer Shoshana Yisrael. That's what I saw. Sefer Shoshana Yisrael from Rav Kader Peraches Sifchav Beis brings from Abel Yashiv, quoted in the Cheshuke Chemed, which is a sefer of Rav Zilberstein's, his son-in-law, that you should not. Ben Hamagil lebeis Harav Mucha v'tzarech lahadlik ner Chanukah. Abarav Yishenim ein lul harirum. He should not wake them, but he could be somech on those that say you could light with a bracha anyway. Again, like we saw many poskim say, like Rav Moshe says, another say, and that's okay. But he does bring there also from a sefer called Ari Yisrael, which I'm not familiar with, that brings from Chaim Kanievsky and from Aaron Leib Shneiman, that they say that if you know that your father will appreciate it, then you can wake him. wake up your father. He said, you know, he'll be good if you can wake him. So he writes there that Zechesh. I once had a Shaila when I was living in Chicago, and we had a Bachram came from South Bend. He had been learning in the yeshiva in South Bend, and he came to Chicago. It was a few hours away from South Bend. He came as an off Shabbos, out Shabbos, so you come to the big city, to Chicago, for Shabbos. And so he came Thursday night. It was during the summer, and he quite tired, and he lied down at like, I don't know, 8 o'clock or some, or very early. And I came home from Seder, and now it's already, it was like close to midnight when I was covering Shaila, and he was fast asleep. And I knew he didn't have an hour, but wasn't Shaila, because he went to sleep, it was during the summer, 8 o'clock, it was a half hour before Shkia. So he definitely had not davened an hour and said Kriya Shema. And he was sleeping. Is he going to ever wake up that during the night with enough time to daven Maariv? You know, at least questionable. And even, you know, even if he does, maybe if he does wake up, he won't remember one thing. So I was wondering if I should wake him up. He didn't say Kriya Shema the night. So what did he say? Should I wake him up? So it was like midnight. I didn't want to wake up any of the rabbanim in Chicago to call to ask anybody. So I called Rav Gershon Bess in L.A. So that's what you do when it's late at night. And called the next time zone, or I called Rav Gershon Bess in L.A., and he said, said I should wake him up, but try, you know, don't like wake him up and make him feel guilty, like, what, you fell asleep, you got to that right. Wake him up, make it sound like something like, oh, sorry, you probably wanted me to wake you, like something like that, like, you know, try to do it in a soft manner, that's remember, it's just, you know, mention that. But he said to wake him up. Okay, so there, that was for his mitzvah, he's chayiv in a mitzvah deraisa, and he's sleeping. L'maaser, Rishon Zalman has a shaila about this, right? About by sukkah. Rishon Zalman says a chiddush someplace that if you have a sukkah with limited capacity for sleeping, and right now it's full, and you would like to go to sleep, but there's no room in the sukkah. So he says if there's somebody sleeping, if you could quite, you know, gently lift up his bed, get a few pillows in his bed, take him out of sukkah, you're allowed to do that. Because he's pater. Once he fell, the mitzvah is to go to sleep. And so once you're sleeping, you're not chayv the mitzvahs. You're pater. So there's nothing wrong with taking him out of the sukkah once he's asleep. I can't imagine a guy's not going to wake up at all. Okay, but he says you can do that if you can carry him out of the sukkah without waking up. He says, "No places you're allowed to do that." Because, so I wonder how that stims. So what I was thinking. So why yotzi Hanukkah candles if you're sleeping? You know, he came home. You didn't light yet. You went to sleep. Your father's going to light, or your husband, her husband's going to light. So she went. Her husband came in really late that night. So she went. The wife went to sleep. She'll be yotzi. Her husband's going to light. And so, but how she?
Because it's in a shlichus. Just like if your daughter's not home or wherever it is, right? You can light. It's good for them to be there, but
no. But they're in a matzav of kiyam mitzvahs. Here they're not in a matzav. Let's say Rachmanos on a person became a shote temporarily, right? The Mishmur talks about the hachas matzah. If you ate matzah when you were a shote and then you became a bari, you have to eat matzah again. So if a person became a shote and you lit Hanukkah, I'm sure they weren't yotzei, right? They have light. So this person sleeping has the same. Same halacha. He's batim in a mitzvah. So why is it? Why is he allowed to? Why is it, how is he yotzi? David says, unless you say, I mean, I can't make a chilek between sleeping and shota. I can hit it, but it's not going to stim so well with that Rishon Zalman. I once heard, I'll say, a little collaboration tonight. I once heard my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, he said over there's a chazal. No, it started before that. Somebody asked. Somebody was considering a certain form of elective surgery, which would have involved general anesthesia. It's obviously, going way back. Obviously, I'm saying because you know I was in yeshiva when the shaila came out. When I heard the shaila, so the question was: should he do it or not? Should he do this surgery, subjecting himself to general anesthesia? So he asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So Rabbi Yaakov said he shouldn't do it. Why not? Because not because of the sakana that you might say, but because it says in Chazal that Adam Arishon was nenash. He was punished that because it says the Hayu Malachi Hasharos Solim Lo Basar Umesanim Lo Yayin. The Malachim used to roast meat and pour wine or prepare wine for Adam Arishon because they thought he was Kaviyachal. They thought he was God. The Malachim. Mistaken, he was such a malvajir. He was mistaken for God, so he was punished. Now you say, well, why is he punished? I mean, he's punished for their mistake. So whatever she was, that he was punished because a person can't conduct himself, shouldn't be conducting himself in a way that people can think he's God. If you act in a way that people can think you're God, then there's something wrong with the way you're acting. Anyway, so Adam Rishon was punished. That the malach, what was the punishment? Vayapel Hashem alakim tardema al ha'adam vayishan. It says that Hashem made him fall into a tardema, a deep sleep, and that's how he created Chava. But Hashem had a lot of ways to do it. I mean, what's that?
Another punishment.
Chava. You didn't say that, did you? Hakadosh Baruch Hu could have invented laparoscopic surgery on the spot if he wanted to, or whatever. He could have made Chava out of a little clay, like he made Adam. But he made Chava. Adam had to go to his Tardei. So it says that was his punishment for, you know, making them think he's a god. But he's punished. So he said, why is it a punishment? For a person to be thrust into a state where he's like completely void of his das, his das is put to sleep completely. Then that's a punishment, that he becomes like an ice bar. He's no longer bar das. Yeah, you know, slabad katamar Yaakov. He's an ice bar das. He's no longer bar das. That was the punishment. So he said, you're gonna go to a general anesthesia. That's basically it's gonna be a tardei magadola. So he told him not good to do it. It's a negative thing. It's a bad thing. You see, it was a punishment to the mission. Don't subject yourself to it if it's not necessary. Now we go to sleep at night. It's different. So I think we asked for shiva. Maybe I did it or someone. You go to sleep at night. You go to sleep at night with a one snap, one nudge, and you're up. That's not tardei magadola. That's, you know, you it doesn't take much to, you know, usually it doesn't take much to get a person out of sleep. So sleeping is not the same as being under the influence of anesthetics or
necessary sleep.
It's necessary. Okay, but I guess the kasha would be, why would Hashem make it such a way that the person has to be punished every night? So he said it's not the same thing. Sleeping is not the same thing as being under drugs that are keeping you asleep and not even feeling pain or anything. It's a whole different, completely different madriga. So, anyways, getting back here. So sleeping by Rishon Mazama says you're sleeping. You're still you're part of my mitzvahs. You're not. You're allowed to take the guy out of the sukkah. So okay. Anyway. So getting back. So if you can, you should wake somebody up. And if there's nobody else, but if there's one other person with you, you don't have to. A couple comes home at night, they don't have to wake anybody up, or anybody, two people, they don't have to wake anybody else up. Anybody up. So the question is, what's better? I have that option. I'll be able to light at night, somebody will be up. Let's say somebody will be up. Is it better to light Plaga Micha? Is it better to wait? Or I guess we can clear the shot. Let's say if nobody would be up and I'd be being somich on the poskim that say I can light with a bracha, you know, and Rabbi Shinra and Rabbi Yashav and Rabbi Shlomo Miller and others, Rabbi Shlomo Felder, that you can light with a bracha, even though nobody's up. So, is it what's better to do? So the different the Chavos Hadar is mesupik about this, and I think the Ikar Psak is that it's better to wait, as long as you know you're not going to forget and you make your shom, etc. It's better to wait. But so I saw you last night in the Sefer Shoshana Yisrael. He made a couple of chalukim. Let me just get that. If I have it here, I think I have it here. Somewhere, okay, somewhere. One second. I think I just passed it. So he says like this, is in Parachesiv Yud, that if somebody will be up, or if you'll be able to wake them, then you should talk away. Wait till you come home at night and light in front of your audience. But if when you get home, there's nobody, you're not going to be able to wake anybody up, there'll be nobody there, or just whatever, you won't be able to wake anybody, then better, if someone's in your house, someone else is going to light, you're leaving the house, but someone will be home, better you shouldn't light at all, just be yotzi with them. Don't light b'plag ha-mincha. Be yotzi de shaliach. Be yotzi de shaliach, rather than letting me plug ha-mincha. But if nobody's going to be home at the Shas HaLaki either, then better to light b'plag than to come home and light late at night when nobody's around. Again, so to light late at night when nobody's around is the last choice. The better choice would be being yotze de shaliach at the right zman, or if that's not possible, light a plag of mincha. And if none of them are possible, then you would light late. Now, the, many clear the shayla in general, forget about plaga mincha. Let's say stam, a person's person at work, and he or wherever he is, and he's not going to be able to come with his man. He'll be home at 8 o'clock. Fine, he can light at the window. The streets will be full of people, or there'll be plenty of people seeing. People wake up in the house, no problem. He'll have a whole audience. But it's not this man. But his wife's going to be home at whatever time, 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever time you normally light. His wife will be home. She could light this man. And he could be yotzi with her hadlaka. So this is a famous shalit. Is it better to be yotzi al yidei shaliach bisman, or is it better to mitzvah bal yosi bibi shilucho? Because even the wife, the mishmur uses lashon shilucho, even though it's ishtok gufo, but it's still called shlichus. It's still mi yosi the shlichus. So what's better? So in practice, the operative psak is to wait and light yourself for many reasons. That's the operative psak. It could be done the other way, and especially if for some reason, like I said, the person is going to be home really late, or some other reason why it's not going to be practical, so then his wife could light for him, he could be yotze, or some other shliach even. But otherwise, if typically the psak is, and the hug is, that people light when they get home. Which brings up the other side. So that's a person who works, so we say, look, if you're flexible, come home on time. Or if it's Sunday afternoon, you're not at work, try to be home on time to light. You're in the office and you can't. You're 9 to 5 or 9 to 6. You work 9 to 6. You can't 10 to 6. You can't. Your boss is not masking, or you're even if you're self employed, but you're the mice. It's just not practical to leave Then okay, so you light later. What about a yeshiva or kollel where they normally the second seder would be bizman hadlaka? So are you mafsik the seder and go light b'shaito, which will certainly for a younger light, that have to go home, it'll be a major disturbance to the Seder. Will they make it back for the Seder? They may not. It might depend on how late the Seder normally goes to. And for Bachrim, if they light in the yeshiva, it'd be less, but even so, it'll be a thing. So what's the right thing to do? Should you be mafsik and light bisman, or should you light only later? So this is a big machlokas poskim also. I'll start with when I grew up in Yeshiva, and in Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim in Queens. So there, in my time, the practice was that the bachrim who lit in the yeshiva, and we used to light in like the hallway. You couldn't light in the dining room. This is an old building. It wasn't practical in the dining room, and we lit in the hallway of the yeshiva right outside the Beis Medrash, which was a big thoroughfare. I mean, for the building it was. So the bachim would go out and light, and then go back to Seder. But the yungalite, the kollel brachim, were not supposed to go. And the Seder was, no, they wait. There was one person now, he's a rabbi now many, many years. He would go home, and he was a very sarcastic man. He said, I'll go home, I'll be back at my seat before the bachim are back at their seats. He would do that. But the rule was, no, not to go home. And then, from what I understood in later years, I don't know what was in your time, but in later years, my understanding was that they stopped the Bachram. First, I think it went in stages. We used to light, and I think I probably even sang Hanir Salala, maybe most. So then I heard, I think like that was eliminated. You light and get back to your seat. And then the whole lighting, Bisman, is that when your time? How did they?
And
the Seder. Okay, that's we have an Adria. That's what I heard, that it switched to light at the end of the Seder. So that's what obviously Rashi Behel, Rehadachle Woods. I saw Rav Moshe is quoted in that way by, in the Sefer Mo, the Yeshur, Rav Moshe is quoted that not to be Mafsik Seder, light at the end, light at the end. And I believe, I heard that Rav Chaim Pichel Scheinberg once spoke about this publicly in Lakewood. He felt this as well, they should not be mafsik the Seder, and he gave a whole shiur about this in Lakewood, or Shmuz, whatever, Kach Shemati. Now, on the other side of the coin, Rabaran, and I got him from this here, Rabaran very much didn't agree with that. Rabaran said, they bring a few different instances from many of his Talmidim, and said over, he almost didn't say, what's the shayla? It says in Shulchan Aruch that you light, this is man hadlaka. There's no shayla. This is man hadlaka. So it's like any other mitzvah. If this is man for the mitzvah, yeah, you could be yotzi later, and the ikar pesukim is may bias, but it still says the Shulchan Aruch was also talking to people lighting inside, right? And yet this is man. So he's like, he didn't, he couldn't hear the shayla. What's the shayla about? This is the mitzvah. And I saw for a number of the Gdolim in Eretz Yisrael that I write down. Let me see if I wrote down. I'm not sure, somewhere. A number of the Gdolim are held that way as well, that you... you should be, even the question should be mapped to the Seder. The Lashon I remember hearing when I was in Chicago was that B'Shem the Chazanish, that even a Talmud Torah is not Docha doing a mitzvah behidura. If there's even if we'll call it like Hidur mitzvah, but it's definitely at least a Hidur mitzvah to light his man, even when he's lighting inside. So Talmud Torah is not Docha that, even though it was Talmud Torah the Rabbim. So big machlokas. Big machlokas, which way to do? When I was in Chicago, so what they, and I assume it's the same way, the kol there, which is a Lakewood kol, and the kol held shalai bisman, but they changed the whole siddurim during Hanukkah, starting with erev Hanukkah, when was you light the first night that night, going through the last the seventh day, the eighth day wasn't okay because you're not lighting that night. They would change the siddurim, and there was kamat no bein siddurim between first seder and second seder. It was just a very short break. Eventually, I guess, with time, they started bringing lunch, bringing pizza so that people could eat something rather than having to figure it out. But the break would be very short, and second set would start, after a very short break, and then they would end. Second set would end by Hadlakas Man. And then, originally at least, night set would start 15 minutes earlier. So they adjusted things. And then the regular time. So they adjust the things so that there'd be just a very minimum of the Torah, if any, and still be able to light Bisman. But I mean, it's not like in a place like Lakewood, I don't know if that's Shaykh. In Lakewood, I think second Seder goes till 8 o'clock, something like that. Anybody know? Anybody here learn Lakewood?
7 o'clock.
What, 7 o'clock? Okay, even 7 o'clock. So to adjust it, we went to what time? I don't remember. Maybe 6 o'clock? I don't remember. Okay, anyway. Big machlokas poskim is a kedai, but al kapana we do see the chashivas of trying to light bisman if it were possible.
I don't recall. There's different opinions about what is the most lechatchila zman.
Yeah, well, mostly spoke about that last week. I could just say in a nutshell. Rabbi held, and this is a big Lakewood thing, to light it about 23 to 25 minutes after Shkia to try to like. Mishdebrua says Tezer Kochavim. He goes, Shachar says Tezer Kochavim. He doesn't give a number. But what I said last week is that the Mishdebrua, if you learn the Bir Alach there, though, he talks about people who would daven Marav Bizman, then they should light earlier. He says, even if you light it, says, but you could be makdim a quarter hour, even up to half hour before it says. He says so, and there are opinions that it's talking about the beginning of, Tchila Shkia Shnia. So we discussed last week the Maisa, where I recommended at least if you like by Tseis, but not a late Tseis, not a Chumadik Tseis, unless you if you hold Mamish Ben Adin. But if you just be Machmer and really, especially and here it would be even earlier than in New York. If you're only Machmer on Shabbos, but Taras Chumra that you keep 72 or 60, whatever, it would be Kedai the light earlier here. I think. I personally try to light somewhere around. Have them by 45 minutes. Want to have them lit, like start, even as the number of candles grow, to start a little bit earlier, 42 minutes, for around there after Shkia, and have them lit by 45 minutes, which is at least certainly according to some that's mamish says here. It's at least an opinion and says rather than waiting to the to 50 minutes. That's what I personally would recommend for those who want to follow the Shulchan Aruch Shita. Okay, so covered a bunch of things here and there. I hope it was it made sense, and let's see. So we'll continue.
Esra.